Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and I'd like to invite all of you to subscribe to the Dr. Drew podcast. We are very proud of what we're doing there at that podcast. I am interviewing some of the most interesting people you could ever want to talk to. Just whatever I find fascinating, whether it's a smart person or an expert in a field that I'm interested in, or maybe I'm not even interested in, I'm only interested because I've heard them speak and become intrigued, I think you'll be intrigued as well. We get deep into topics that are quite important to the current age. Things like cognitive dissonance, cognitive distortions, how does our mind work? We talk about everything at the Dr. Drew podcast that is of real relevance. We get all the way into deep physics and all sorts of stuff. But trust me, it's all very accessible. It's very interesting. Headaches, if you're even interested in learning about headaches, we get there. We go to the interesting topics of the day. Please join us at the Dr. Drew podcast.
Today's episode brought to you by JB Weld. Available, by the way, at jbweld.com. Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more, and proudly made in the USA. Well, in the first half, we have Jody Miller sitting in for Gina Grad, and then DFG hangs out, play a little JV or all balls, a very exciting game. Matt Sinkowitz is going to join us. He's an author and a documentarian and a professor. All that coming up. First, there's Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
From Carolla.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold-my-beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns. Literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Greg Fitzsimmons and author Matt Sinkowitz. With Jody Miller filling in on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and the deaf frat guy drops by for some JV or all balls. And now, overall neat dude, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the show. You're going to need to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling friend Dawson's on a cruise, a working cruise, so Chris is filling in for him. Good day, Jody Miller.
Good day to you, sir.
And Ball Brian.
Adam Carolla, I just want to say, who is the dude that is on your show?
That is the DFG, the Deaf Frat Guy.
How you had that to food?
His real name is Jason, but he goes by Maverick. He's a communications major over at USC. And he's founder of Delta Fu, founded in 06, right, Mav?
06, after the schism.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There was a schism?
With Teeks?
With you and Blake Chambers at the Teeks?
I'm not allowed to say that name.
I said it.
They threatened to sue me.
Oh, you got a gag order.
These were brothers. I'm using air quotes.
Yeah, brothers. Did Ashley go along with him over to the Teeks?
Ashley tried that, dude.
Oh, sorry.
Come on, bro.
Sorry. I thought you're normally confused as to which Ashley we're talking about.
Chairwoman.
But aren't there two Ashleys?
Yeah, there's Ashley, the chairwoman of the Triadelt. Then there's Ashley, who used to rock a shave bush.
Oh, okay, right. So I'm not sure which Ashley then. Oh, so the Ashley without the shave bush went to over. She was a Triadelt.
Yeah, wait a minute. Where is Gina?
Oh, Gina got a breast reduction surgery.
What?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You really got to love that easier.
Yeah.
No,
sorry. She had a minor surgery. She had a procedure.
Is she okay? Is she sick?
No. She's
better than ever.
What happened to her? What operation?
Her breasts. They were reduced.
They took off her titties?
No. It's a reduction.
I think it was hurting. Oh.
What?
That could be Poochie's uncle now. Probably just got the news.
I'll call you later.
Okay.
Why did she do this?
I don't know. Maybe she's having back problems. I don't know. Deep bra grooves.
That's a problem.
Physician, yeah.
But she had a world-class set of melons.
Yeah, she did, yeah.
Now they're gone?
No, not gone. Reduced.
Less than melons.
36, what? A 36 double D?
I never asked.
Could have been a G or an H. Gosh. Yeah.
But, dude.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that?
Why
would you do that?
I didn't do it, understand.
Why did she do it to us?
I wouldn't look at it as doing it to us. I think it was, you know, kind of a personal decision, maybe a health decision.
Very male-centric.
Can I get a brew or a hot seltzer?
Yeah. You want something to take the edge off?
Hell yeah, dude. What the heck?
I'm sorry.
Stupid JV.
All right.
Now my phone is blowing up.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should shut that off. But
it's a special phone.
It's a special phone for
it probably is,
the
actually.
Hearing impaired?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Why would she do this to us?
No, you keep saying...
I think she did it to you, for you.
You're saying us, but I think you mean
hell yeah.
Them.
Thank
right.
you, Chris. And all congratulations right. on your matrimony.
Oh, yeah.
The range of emotions here.
Yeah.
Damn it, dude.
Yeah. So, look, I didn't want to get out of the gate this way. So, let's kind of focus on JV or all balls here.
I was just going to say that I had some good news.
Mm. Oh.
I have been 932 days AEA free.
AEA?
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Oh, really?
And 4 hours.
Oh.
And...
Did you say 930? So
932 days and 4 hours.
Right.
Oh. And what they say is the monkey may be off my back, but the circus is still in town.
So you're struggling.
I'll take it night at a time.
One night at a time.
Are you going to do it like alcoholics do and get the date tattooed on you of your last AEA?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I'm going to do it now. Like,
sure. As a reminder.
Do you have a sponsor? Is there somebody you can call when you feel the need?
Yeah, it's this dude, Don Wardlaw. He runs this group called LighthouseLastGasp.org.
It's wordy.
So they specialize in this?
Last Gasp.
He is a dude what he says is he was flying a little too close to the sun.
Ah, with his autoerotic asphyxiation.
And he was found by his family.
Oh, I see. Yeah. But he survived, or?
He survived. He said, there go I for the grace of God.
Oh, right, right.
And
so did we lose Mike F. or one of the crew in the frat to autoerotics?
Mike L.
Mike
Moose,
L.
Moose had to cut him down.
No brother in a frat should ever have to cut down another brother.
No, but Moose, I mean, not that this is like good, but he got all A's for the rest of the semester.
Oh, I see.
I heard that. Well, that happens when you find your roommate in college.
Oh, yeah.
If you kill your... Yeah, I think there was a movie about
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Is it, if you kill them, you also get all A's.
Mm. Oh, so Moose got all A's.
Yeah, because
Not Mike L.
Oh, he
posthumously.
Did too.
No, Mike L would, you know.
He got incomplete.
He did what he did.
Right. Okay, so Moose had to cut him down, so he got straight A's.
Yeah.
All right, so you've already lost someone in the frat to autoerotic asphyxiation, yeah?
Yeah, and then, you know, I mean, but this organization really helps dudes out.
Lighthouse.
Look at me.
Yeah.
932 days.
And 4 hours.
4 hours.
Right. Or okay. 4 hours and 9 minutes now.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good. So you've taken charge of your life. Is this a bigger problem than we know?
Well, a lot of dudes, more dudes than you might think, are looking for a way to get that extra nut or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The extra nut. I've heard about this.
Like that like feeling. A
payday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like... Some dudes will have like 10, 12 video screens showing different porn.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Other dudes just realize that the answer may be right around your waist.
Uh-huh.
Oh, as a belt, yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Hanging yourself that way, yeah. My true story, my grandmother warned me to the dangers of this when I was about 16 and a half, which is a very embarrassing
Tell us about
conversation
that conversation.
Just, she'd probably read something in some magazine somewhere and thought it'd be a good idea to inform me.
Well, it has been around for a while. They found hieroglyphics of Egyptians.
Really?
Doing AEA.
It was like catgut?
It was like a sash. That
oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
Like a silk thing.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't know that. So it's been around.
It's been around. You never hear women, though. Do women – is it a thing that women – I mean, well, some women like to be choked.
They like to be choked.
Like to be choked. So if I decided to take a belt and what if I started like dabbling in it, is that – do you know of a lot of women that – are there women in your group or
– There's a trans
– Oh.
Oh, there's a trans person.
Yeah.
So who was a man who transitioned into a woman and...
And with all due respect, I'm not supposed to talk about this, but AEA is the least of his her problems.
Oh, really? Mm. Well, that's an assumption, yeah. So the movie Coda just won Children of Deaf...
Adults.
Adults.
We're almost there, buddy.
Children...
Of Deaf Adults.
Of Deaf Adults, yeah.
We're coming out of the mainstream...
Mm-hmm.
And people are ready to listen to what we have to say, if you will pardon the expression.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
You're a prominent deaf person in the media. I imagine you were at least approached. Yeah. Your representation was at least approached, you know, to read for a role in the movie.
I was not approached directly, but Adam and I did have... gotten our feet wet in the film world.
Oh, yeah. Mm,
that's right.
Mm-hmm. We wrote a screenplay.
We did.
Oh, yeah.
About what?
The deaf rat guy. Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was called Showdown at Havistu.
Mm-hmm.
It was based on actual event.
That's right.
When we went on spring break and we met this really cool, they were exchange students.
Exchange students.
From Bulgaria.
Uh-huh.
But then we woke up. We were totally blacked out.
You're on a houseboat?
On a houseboat in Lake Havasu. They were not exchange students. They were gypsies. They took everything. Our watches, cell phones, pagers.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pagers.
Right. Well, they drugged you. They roofied you guys, right?
Yeah, and I think, I'm not sure, but I think they gave Pucci's uncle that drug from Colombia where you lose all your will. And they're like, go to the ATM and withdraw. And he's like, hell yeah.
All right. And then if I even recall of his Moose or Poochie woke up with a dick drawn on his forehead. I think the gypsies did that even.
Yeah, impermanent marker.
Right. Oh, so boy. It's still there.
All these years later. Still there to this day.
And you know how much Poochie loves to be tan, to go in the tanning bed.
Right. Yeah. Oh, no, wait a minute, DFG. I think you drew the dick on Poochie because he passed out before you. I think that's what ended up happening.
Hell yeah. That's right. Because when I was like, dude, don't PO now. You right. may be drugged.
Right.
Don't pass out because I'm not getting that dick drawn on my head.
Right, right. Yeah. Cause-
and you could see I was pretty wasted when I drew it.
Yeah, what was your finest work? We were on a houseboat, for God's sake.
Yeah, a little yeah. rocky on there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they trashed the houseboat.
Yeah. You guys get your deposit back?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know, because Poochie's uncle had a friend who is houseboated one. And I think he wrote it off for the insurance.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And I can't remember. You did you catch up to the gypsies?
No.
No. Oh. So they got all your stuff.
Never got your stuff back.
Yeah, they were not exchange students. They were common criminals.
Yeah, gypsy criminals. Yeah. But they were hot, right?
Well, fuck yeah.
Hell yeah, they were hot. But Poochie's uncle swears that all his hemorrhoid problems were from that night, that they may have did something to him.
Well, now, I thought Poochie's uncle had the testicular torsion problem where he sat on his nutsack.
Oh.
He had a prodigious sack.
Well, let's put it like Gina, maybe. He had a reduction.
Oh, he had a reduction. Oh. Oh, okay. So it's not a problem anymore?
A ball reduction?
It's less of a problem.
It's like a – it's not like a squirrel, but it's bigger. But it's not the way it was.
Wait, bigger? Right. Bigger than a squirrel's nuts?
Yeah, no. It's like a golf ball.
Oh. Medium-sized dog, maybe.
Oh, all right, that's fair. I can visualize that.
Yeah, all right. So, well, let's not relive the tragedy of the showdown at Havasu.
This is all a lot of shit I'm taking in right now.
You're having a process. Yeah, that's why you need to.
Yeah, first Gina, now this.
Take a draw off your spike seltzer.
The hell?
Yeah, all right. Well, I didn't mean to get off on the wrong foot. I know we're going to play JV or all balls. So, and Jody, he's going to give you a couple topics. And if it's all balls, that's good.
Yep,
and if
obviously.
It's JV, you know, St. Bernard puppies would be all balls.
Oh, well,
and all right. And coronavirus would be JV. You know, just to,
for some people.
Just in broad strokes, yes.
Generally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Do we have an intro?
We do.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Mangria presents The Deaf Frat Guy and JV, or All Balls.
Mangria! He calls from the frat house onto the show, the deaf frat guy hearing impaired roll. He's hammered all day long with Poochie Moose and Mike F. They chug some fruits, shoot potato guns, and then play Okie Cookie. If something's pushy, he'll make the call. So now it's time for JV Oral Balls.
Okay, the first question we are going to do today. JV or all balls? Dudes who make their own swords.
Dudes who make their own swords. This is interesting because, you know, I've seen a lot of those TV shows, you know, Forged in Fire, yeah. You know, and they're all kind of weird dudes with weird facial hair and, yeah. You know,
very affected.
They're very affected, but on the other hand, they're using their hands, they're using tools. Mm-hmm.
They're into metallurgy.
They're into metallurgy.
Yep.
There's something, you know, so it's kind of weird. It's like I kind of respect the guy, but I wouldn't want to hang out with him.
Right.
I'm with you.
And then imagine going out to, you know, for steak dinner with one of these guys and you like reach for a knife. He goes, that's pot metal. That's fucking from China. Bullshit. You're never going to get through that. Yeah, I brought my own. And then he unrolls the knives he made.
Right.
Jody, this is not typical. Usually the first one we get out of
I already know what easy, mine is, but I already, okay. I can, for me.
All right, what do you got?
I mean, it's very JV. I mean, guys who make swords play with their swords, cross swords with other swords. Wow. There's a lot of sword fighting. Mm. There's no room for me there. I've got nothing to offer a guy who makes his own swords. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna go for all balls because in every commercial – where they're trying to illustrate a boy becoming a man or like to be a Marine, you know, and like whatever. It's always slow motion of the guy pounding
the sword,
the metal,
it's some kind of metal.
Yeah,
it's got the
anvil out.
And
yeah, it is emblematic of becoming something stronger and better. So I say it's all balls.
These are all good points. I'm pretty torn, but I'm gonna lean JV because this guy is as manly as it is. This is a close cousin. Look at me, guy. Like, please ask me a question about this sword making ability.
This is like wear a kilt guy.
Yeah.
That's who this guy is.
Same dude.
Okay.
The answer is JV.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Damn it.
The answer is JV.
Dude, buy the sword, dude. Yeah. Like, who's got this much time? No, you do not have this much time to make your own sword. Just go to an Army Navy store.
Go to a sword store. Just go to a sword store.
Yeah. But then what about the people who make their own beer?
That's good.
Same guy?
No, that's good.
That's good.
Yeah, that's all balls.
But according to your argument, he should just go to Trader Joe's and pick up a six-pack.
No, you make your own beer. You know your flavors. You drink your beer.
I'll take my loss.
Shows up with a homemade six-pack.
What's the next one?
Turtle.
Turtles? Just turtles.
Yeah, like Yertle the turtle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember Yertle.
Oddly specific example, but...
All right. Well, turtles... Here's the thing about turtles. they have a very difficult, troubling combination. They get into trouble a lot. They rely on us. Oh, we gotta get him. He's tangled up in a net tuna belt.
Or he's upside down.
He just falls upside down.
Or he's upside down. Or, you know, they go to the beach and they hatch and all the crabs are eating their, you know, for some reason. We have a preoccupation with turtle survival. Mm-hmm. We don't have that same with cockroaches or ravens or something. But somehow we have to invest a lot of time in turtles, especially the sea turtles.
Yes.
And then the sea turtles live until 157 years old, which means I have to spend my adult life looking after turtles, you know. I'm going to the beach later to make sure they have a nice hatchery.
You got to work that turtle into your will.
And then I'll be gone.
Yes.
Because I'm only making 75, and then my son must pick up the turtle mantle. So it's pretty much, I'm going to have to explain to him, forget about vocational training. No. You're going to have a full-time job. That's taking care of turtles that never die. And can't stop getting themselves out of trouble.
Right.
It's essentially like if you had a severely autistic child that lived to 200. It's not sort of the same.
It's exactly the same.
And so this is too much. It's too much of a burden.
Too much for you.
That's too much of a burden. I say they're JV.
Wow.
All right.
See, I thought this was an easy one. Turtle, the majestic creatures.
Beautiful.
Be a fun fact, in Hawaii, not allowed to touch them.
Yes, you're not allowed to.
No.
But a fun fact, I did.
Oh!
Yeah. They even have they have like a COVID-type radius. Like
really?
You have to stay like 6 foot from them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're majestic creatures. They're graceful swimmers. I'm going to go with all balls.
I'm going to go with all balls, too, because... they get in a lot of trouble. All they do is they flip over. They can't get up. They get falling down. They can't get up. There's a lot of stuff going on. But I like the fact that they live a long life. And the best part is that when they're done with you, they just fucking go right back in their shell. How great would that be? If you were just talking to someone, you're like, I don't want to hear this conversation anymore.
So
then you just go bleep.
I will make the argument. I will concede that when they do die, we can make an ashtray out of them. And that's a huge plus.
You don't have to put them in a box like all of my cats. You're right.
Right. So that's a plus.
Hell yeah. It all balls.
Yes.
And here's why I think.
You got to recalibrate this, man.
Ain't the thing was good about the ashtray or a spittoon?
A salad bowl.
Salad bowl. That's nice.
They are the OG, the original drifter.
They have their houses on their back.
Yeah, they're rambling men.
They're born to ramble. Wherever they lay their head, it's their home.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're rambling.
You should have thought about that.
I feel like I hurt my own cause with my ashtray argument, but okay.
You'll see a turtle and be like, hey, look at that cool drifter.
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He don't give a shit.
Yeah, swimming into town, making love to all the lady turtles, and then rambling again. You're right. I didn't think about that. All right. I'm 0 for 2, man.
This one is a little bit tricky.
Oh. Mm.
A too good blowjob.
Too good a blowjob.
That's too good.
Like with an Altoid or something?
Yeah, like someone that like stands on her head with her hands behind her back and blows that rubber on.
Oh, my God. Have you seen my videos? That's so weird that you're so
you're
specific.
Talking about digit dropping here, man?
Whatever turns you on, man.
Yeah, uh-huh. Just like a too good.
Yeah, it's too good. It's too good. Mind-blowing.
Bar too high. Mm-hmm. Now, look, it's not the actual too good blowjob that we're worried about. We're worried about the next blowjob.
That's what it is.
It's right? A ruin.
Yep.
You.
Yeah, look, by this argument, no one should ever eat at the French Laundry because it's going to ruin them for the hometown buffet.
I haven't enjoyed a meal in 5 years, buddy.
That's right. I dismiss this argument. Also, there's a distinct chance of having a heart attack as you're busting a nut and that being your last blowjob. You could be hit by a bus. Mm-hmm. I like that 2022, the number one way you could die randomly is hit by a bus. You'd be hit by a bus during your refractory period. You know, also, you know, who's giving the blowjob? Mm-hmm. Because if this is a professional, I think you just go back to the ranch and ask for Tammy. You know what I mean? And you get the same blowjob. Mav?
This is would be a lady you have feelings for.
Mm.
Oh, now we're getting into the details.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't want to, like, I'm just saying, like, hey, this is a hell of a Hummer.
Mm-hmm.
But who was the last chump she was blowing?
Oh, now.
Yeah.
We got to figure out where she perfected her technique.
Yes, I mean, professionals trade. Just don't become professionals overnight.
I never really thought about that, but, you know, I have a license plate frame on my car that says you can never be too rich or too skinny. And I'm going to apply that to the blowjob.
Okay.
There's no such thing as too good a blowjob. I say a great blowjob is all balls.
Okay.
The obvious answer here, Maverick clearly wants us to go down the path of JV, which is why I'm going to say JV.
Mm. Okay, well, I, as the only
Articulate.
Person in this room, I'm as the only person in this room, I'm assuming that actually gives blowjobs. Is that a fair assessment?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And who is also an incredibly good blowjob giver. Sorry, Dad.
Oh.
But, mm-hmm. I mean, it's one of my, it's on my resume, it's my acting resume. You've seen it.
I read your
That's why
IMDb.
I'm here, guys. That's why I'm here today.
Perfect French accent.
And
hell of a blowjob.
And hell of a blowjob. But I will tell you, as someone who's gotten a lot of compliments, it's JV. You don't give too good of one. You just don't. I could bring that guy there. I could bring him to the best. But right when I see that he's enjoying it too much, you pull back a little bit. You put your teeth on it a little bit just so he's, whoa. It's
so if you see him put down the remote or end his phone call.
Then, yeah. No. It's got to be, you want to always keep him on. You want to keep it like right there where he's like, I know she could do a little better, and then he keeps you around.
Don't they say that?
Yeah.
Don't they say the same thing about French perfume? There's something in there that's like stinks a little bit just so it's not too flowery.
Right. I think, maybe. I don't know. I don't wear French perfume when I give blowjobs.
Well,
but yeah.
I have a question for you, little lady.
You called me little.
Yeah.
What is your phone number? Hell yeah.
All right. Well, I won all balls
and
on this
went
one. Two JVs.
JV.
Oh.
I just can't think about the chump before.
Yeah. Man, I'm taking a shellacking.
This is not your best
today.
Moment.
This really isn't a good look for me. Mav and I go way back. Like, I feel like I have my finger on his pulse, but
not
I'm
today.
Way off.
Larry Miller-esque.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, it's all balls.
What?
Why?
What?
You changed
How'd
it.
How'd you change that?
Because there is no good, too good of a blowjob.
Wow.
Wow, that's what I was saying. All right, well, this game is it's getting
right,
knotted
well,
up
really,
now.
Yeah.
This one, I think we can come to a little bit of an agreement. making eye contact with a dog while it's taking a big duke.
I have found that with my dog, Phil, nearly impossible.
Oh, really?
Oh, you can't look at him?
Well, what I've noticed is he likes to take a dump in the backyard sometimes when I'm like standing out on the patio. And what he does is he looks at me and he then starts to position himself so his asshole is facing me every single time. He never takes one facing me.
Sure.
He'll get out like a sextant and a slide rule and lick his paw and put it up in the wind and start. He'll factor in the Earth's rotation and stuff, and then he gets it exactly lined up. If I move 8 feet, he'll shift,
oh.
He'll adjust, and then he'll get just so I see his ass in the business, and then he'll drop the deuce. So I don't get to
you
look
can't
him
ever.
In the
so
eye.
Even if you were about to, he would just turn.
Yes, yes. So.
Fascinating. My dog faces away from me also, but always turns to look back. I can't avoid the eye contact.
Oh, you're being taunted.
I probably am. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It's like, I know who picks this up, not me.
Yeah. Oh, there's Phil. Took him for a walk yesterday. We went into
someone's
house.
Doesn't look like you're walking him anywhere.
Yeah, well, he gets tired, and then when he gets tired, he finds some green grass and some shade, and then he lays down, and he just lays there and tells
it's
time to move. And inevitably, whoever lives in the house or is returning to the house shows up while I'm standing
always
on their lawn every single fucking time. Guy in a black F1 Ford F-150 just backing out. Phil cannot be moved because he's overheated, and when he's overheated, there's no moving him. So he just sits there. He rolled around too, Chris. We can I think there's a crazy picture of him rolling around. But anyway, he turns his back. He makes me witness this in a almost Clockwork Orange-esque way, and for that
with the eyes open.
Yeah, and Brian's dog mocking him.
Yep.
I say it's JV.
It is for sure, JV. You hit the nail on the head. There's a taunt in there. There's a, yeah, you may be the owner. I'm making air quotes, but we knew he was in charge.
Right.
It's obviously JV. I'm a cat owner, and cats do their business in private, so I don't have to see it.
They
so dogs, yeah, they bury it. They do it in private. It never happened. They don't even want to acknowledge it. Dogs are like, clean that up, bitch.
Mm, right. All right. We're all JV on this one.
Let the dog take a dump in peace. JV. Don't look at it.
That's right.
And I mean, yeah, there's a dog that will wink at you.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, there's crazy.
Look at that.
Phil,
that's a good boy.
He'll roll around a little on someone's lawn for a while, and then at some point he'll unheat, and then we can continue our walk. And then we ran into a nice woman who was going into her home, and she recognized me, and she invited me in. And to meet her husband.
And now you live there.
And have a glass of wine. And so I did. And
wow. Charmed life.
They had cats. And Phil came in, and Phil was going nuts with these crazy cats. All right. So what do we got? It was a 2-1.
I think we're up by one on you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Into the championship rounds.
Now for this, to spice things up a little, we will do a choice. You pick the topic. I'll give you a choice.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is, would you rather judge beating off to the same porn star 3 times in a row?
Mm-hmm.
Or the concept of eminent domain?
Oh, wow.
Wow. So eminent domain.
The legal concept.
The legal concept. I'm not even sure of. It's like, is that like ownership is 9/10 of the law?
It's like where the government comes in and says, we need this for a park or a building or something. Get the fuck out.
We're going to expand the freeway.
Yeah.
So we're gonna mow down your grandma's house. Yeah. So, and then the other one is beating off.
To the same
porn star.
Actress.
Okay, actress, important.
3 times in a row.
Or more.
Okay.
Oh.
To the point where it becomes, there is emotional attachment.
Oh,
okay. Well, Jody, you're the guest. I'm gonna leave it up to you.
Oh, well, obviously porn star.
Okay.
Because anybody that can 3 times. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a question. Oh. Is this 3 consecutive times like in a session, or is this spread over 3 or 4 days?
Days.
Okay.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. That's different. Know. Okay. All right. Yeah. Still, let's just see.
Like,
yeah.
I need to see this lady again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're worried that a relationship is being forged here?
Yeah, like the way a duck baby imprints on its mother.
But with Nina Hartley?
For example.
Are you a vintage guy, Mav? Do you like the newer stuff? You
Bro,
like the
I know
weird
who
Avatar
Nina Hartley
stuff?
Is, okay?
Yeah, no, I didn't mean to insult. No, I'm sorry. Tonally, I was off. I didn't mean to insult you. What I'm saying is, you know, a lot of guys go back and look at stuff from the, you know, when they were in high school and stuff. It's a little whack down memory lane. Some of the other guys are beaten off to some Marge Simpson anime or something. Mm. You know what I mean? What's your wiggle?
Well, I think that you need to spice it up.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm asking you the question.
Well, okay.
Here's something to consider. Nina Hartley, a superstar, unattainable, a star, an actress. Nowadays, with the porn being what it is, you got the amateur girls. Mm-hmm. They're all on Twitter accounts or whatever account.
OnlyFans.
These girls are. You could take it too far. You know what I'm saying? Hey, loved your last vid or whatever, and next thing you know, you got a little bit of a two-way going.
All right. Well, I'm going to make this one between Jody and Brian because we have to declare a winner here because we have our next guest waiting for us.
I will let
Jody go first, and then Brian will go the opposite.
I recognize the all balls. This is
all balls.
This sounds great. There's a risk factor.
No, there isn't. There's a risk factor of a real relationship, and I'm a romantic girl.
Okay, so we disagree on a fundamental principle here. The risk factor is the real relationship. I say JV.
All balls.
All right.
And the winner is ball, Brian. So the whole point is you get a different lady every day.
Well,
now you're talking.
I feel slighted.
Hey, for your first time out, that was really good.
That was solid.
Okay. What is your astral sign?
I'm a Taurus.
Hell yeah.
My birthday is actually on Sunday.
Hey!
Do we have an outro?
We absolutely do. Here it is.
That was JV, or All Balls.
All right, let me tell you.
Rat guy.
Oh, sorry. Let me tell you about JB Weld, world's strongest bond. The brand DIYers and pros have trusted for over 50 years. Use their epoxies, their super glues, their putty sticks. Big and small projects, practically any surface, metal, wood, plastic, glass, ceramics, whatever you need to mend, JB Weld has a product for you. And you just keep it in your kitchen drawer, your toolbox, or your garage. I have them at the shop. I have it in the garage. I have it in the tool drawer. It is all balls and all JB Weld all the time. Also, the proud owner of Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. If you're looking for the world's strongest truck bed liner, Herculiner, well, they got you covered. And it's available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Automart, AutoZone. Advanced Auto Parts, you can get it at O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And JB Weld is proudly made in the U.S. of A. All right, Def Frat Guy, you can shoot him a tweet at Def Frat Guy. And any other plugs, DFG?
No, just shoot me a tweet at Def Frat Guy.
Shoot you a tweet at Def Frat Guy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Hell yeah.
Nice job, man. Always
nice
deliver.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet
and
you.
And I hope Gina has a speedy recovery.
Matt Sinkowitz is going to join us. He's a writer. He's an Emmy-nominated documentarian. He's a PhD. He's got a book out, and we'll get into that right after this.
And now, a totally innocuous word that sounds dirty when Mike Dawson says it.
Discharge.
Ew. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Matt Sinkowitz has joined us via Zoom. He's a PhD. He's a writer. He's an author. He's a documentarian. He's got a book out, and it's called That's Not Funny, How the Right Makes Comedy Work for Them. It's available now on Amazon. And, this is an interesting subject, which is, and I think it's covered in the book, like Greg Gutfeld is number one in late night now. That's something that would have been thought unthinkable a year ago. What's your take, Matt?
Yeah, well, first, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
And, you know, yeah, it does seem unthinkable, and it seems unthinkable in a number of different ways. One, you know, Fox News has the, you know, a top rated comedy show that seems unthinkable to a lot of people. There's also just been a tendency to associate successful comedy, you know, commercially viable comedy with the left. You know, that's clearly become not something we could depend on, not something that we can assume. Maybe it was never fully true, but certainly things have changed tremendously in the way that comedy is used across the political spectrum and the business of comedy as it relates to politics.
Yeah, I've been on to this for a number of years, doing a slightly non-scientific approach. But if you looked at the iTunes Top 100 podcast several years ago, it's pretty much Ben Shapiro, and that was about the only sort of conservative, comedy aside, that was his only kind of conservative voice on there. And there was always this thing of, like, you can't give your conservative thoughts, that'll kill your career. And my feeling was always a kind of, if everyone is serving Italian food, then we should open a taco stand. And they went, no, that's a career killer. You need more Italian food. And I'm like, I think Gutfeld... I know Greg. I like Greg. Arguably, his product is not nearly as honed or strong or anything as what you're seeing on the major networks.
Comedically, he has a good show, but in terms of jokes.
He literally doesn't have... I've done his show remotely, but, like, I've talked to Drew and other people done his show. He doesn't have... All right. Colbert, Kimmel, Fallon, whatever... There's a whole room of writers. There's 15 guys that write full time for that. And then there's a set and the live audience and the lights and they have a band, you know, they have an orchestra, you know, it's like, it's such a kashaw. It's a carnival, and the cost of it has to be quite a bit. And then there's Gutfeld, and he's sitting in his chair with a clipboard on his lap, and there's the audience or the cameraman and the script supervisor, except for there isn't a script, and he doesn't have a writer's room.
He's low overhead.
He's just, like, making notes. The point is you don't have to have the best tacos. You just have a taco stand when everyone else is getting burnt out on Italian food, if that's the right analogy.
No, I think that's exactly right. You know, we could have our own opinions on what's funnier, but there's no question that the market saturation, you know, is sort of that center left space, and it has been in comedy for a long time. It took Fox News a while to think its audience was ready for sort of a straight up comedy show, but once they did, there was very little competition there. And yeah, as you note, they can do it on a shoestring and bite off what is today a pretty big chunk of the audience.
Yeah, maybe even number one, at least several weeks ago. It is interesting and very telling, because I always talk to Mike August about this, who's in that world, been in that world for a long time. He's like, this is a huge news story that is not being covered. Gutfeld being number one in late night. Just the notion of a cable network being number one in late night. I'm sure CNN and New York Times fucking hate this story, so it's not a thing. But this is a big thing. This is 50 years of domination, and now this. And it's literally not spoken of.
Yeah, that's completely true. And even when you do see it, very often you'll find a report in, I don't know, even Variety or something, you know, we'll talk about Gutfeld as a comedy oriented program or something like this. They'll want to, like, take a chip off of it to make clear that there's something that makes it questionable as to whether or not it's comedy, because it's coming from the right. And we write about this in the book extensively, that there's just this sort of possessiveness about comedy, especially sort of mainstream comedy on the left. And there's a lot of investments in people, you know, from the center left, just sort of more liberal leaning people to want to own comedy, sort of make that something that's theirs, and then define anything that's happening on the right as not comedy. And I think that's part of why you don't see the story written as straightforward as you could, that, yeah, this competes with Colbert, this competes with Kimmel, and beats it on regular occasion.
Well, it's also, I think what the left cherishes the most is the culture. I feel like they would give up 10 elections for one John Stewart. You know what I mean? Like that's it's a cultural thing, you know? And it's super effective because you could have Ted Cruz go on John Stewart's show and Ted Cruz could rat-a-tat-tat a bunch of stats about immigration and the border and the finances and inflation and stagflation, and Jon Stewart could just give him one shot about his goofy beard or something, and he would win the argument.
Go viral,
you know?
Yeah.
So it's like you, the comedians and music to that for that and Hollywood in general, the culture is a big, big part of the process, and they've always owned the culture comedically. And if you own the culture comedically, you have a lot of the culture on your side. And it's also, I think there's probably a thing too, which is we've talked about it in the past on podcasts and stuff, where you kind of go, you know, different groups do different things. Filipinos like to do nursing and
men be like, but women be like,
Jews do you know, dentistry, or you're running William Morris or something or like that.
I am doing both,
but there's a certain part of it, like when I used to work construction, the Hispanic guys, the electrician or the mason block guy, they'd have their sons on the job when they were 11 and they'd be kind of passing it down. And the right, comedically, doesn't really have that bench or that farm team or that lineage. You know, it's like Germans, they're just good drivers, you know, because they've been driving and building cars. And you know what I mean? Like, it's not really in their DNA.
Yeah, well, I think that there's a lot to that. I mean, the point you made about Stewart is exactly right. I think a lot of the contemporary possessiveness about comedy on the left, it really comes from Jon Stewart, who emerged in the early 2000s as, you know, basically the leader of the Democratic Party, right? He drew much bigger crowds than John Kerry, right? The idea that Democratic politics and comedy were intertwined absolutely became sort of just taken as something for granted. And then you're right. Historically, you know, comedy has been aimed at you know, bigger chunks of the audience, and it's been perceived that the center left is where you can get the largest group of people who like comedy. That might still be true. It's hard to say. But what has totally changed is you don't have to aim at a big group of people in the way that media works today. And once you're able to target, you know, smaller groups of people, there's no reason to be biased against any political group. There's people who like to laugh everywhere. Yeah. So if you get to make a bunch of different shows, you can target them across the board. Mm-hmm. And that's where that bench will come from that you describe on the right.
Well, all, you know, Gutfeld needs, you know, in a society with 350 million people in it, he only needs 1.7 million Americans to be number one, or, you know, 2.1 or whatever it is. But it's a small slice of it. He doesn't need half or two thirds of our society. And then ultimately, most of this stuff just kind of comes down to commerce. If Gutfeld can get these kind of ratings and on this kind of budget, then there's going to be a lot of copycats, so to speak.
Sure.
And as much as we talk about sponsors, you know, corporate America and having a conscience and so on and so forth, they'll eventually just drift to where the eyeballs are, where they can find, can get their product to the most human beings.
Yeah. Or the most human beings, or the most coherent, easy to advertise to group of people, right? Sometimes it doesn't need to be a giant group of people if they have enough common interests that it's really easy to figure out what to advertise to. And that's, you know, the world of podcasts, of course, you're familiar with. You know, you don't need giant groups of people. You just need to have a group that an advertiser is excited to get to. And, you know, the so many products, there's so many different ways to get media out there. You can hone that product to a group of people who, you know, advertisers like.
I feel like in many of these cases, the left sort of overplayed their hand and sort of drove people the other direction. I always kind of liken it to like a Chick-fil-A boycott. You know, they get all uppity about Chick-fil-A, and then they announce there's going to be a boycott, and then all they do is weaponize the other half of the country. Mm-hmm. It goes, fuck that, we're getting Chick-fil-A tonight. And I think the left got so preachy and so political and sort of went so hard in one direction, almost at sometimes even abandoning comedy just for the sake of politics, that it then created Gutfeld. Is that a fair assumption?
I think there's elements to that for sure. I mean, the Trump years, right, made it, it brought in all these questions about, you know, can you joke about this or not joke about that on the left? You know, part of it, there's certainly some, you know, like a self-censorship that you see in parts of the left really being afraid to cross a boundary or break a taboo. But also just, you know, if you, you know, for example, you watch, you know, Colbert, you know, he'll do jokes and good jokes often about Trump, but then there also always seems to have to be a very serious point. Right. He's on the verge of tears after January 6th. He's sort of making sure, you know, that it's not just funny. And I think that that's something the left really at the end of the Trump years, parts of the left, people who are comedians on the left, there was sometimes a pain tax for the comedy that they were doing. Right. You make somebody laugh, but then teach them, well, it's really serious also. And that might not be the best way to long term hold an audience and attract new people to comedy.
I mean, you take a look at just COVID, and I was screaming during the whole COVID hysteria, where the fuck are the comedians? Like, I want some jokes. Like, where are they? They stood back from that subject in a big way, and probably a way they wouldn't have 20 years ago. I just feel like, you know, we were talking to the late, great Gilbert Godfrey, who was, you know, tweeting out about the Japanese tsunami as it was happening. You know, I don't know, is that 14 years ago now, or 10 years ago? I don't even
over
know
10.
When that was. But there was a time when comedians went, I don't care if it's gallows humor, this is what's in the zeitgeist, and I gotta... They pretty much abandoned all that. They were actually at the forefront of, you know, all the hysteria. And I wonder if that's affected them big picture.
No, I mean, I think so. I think part of it also has to do with the mixing up of different ways that we communicate, right? So, you know, Twitter is a space for comedians to make jokes naturally. It's also a place to a lot of people get their serious news from. You know, the Fox News having Gutfeld is a mixture of this, the kind of mixing up of the comedy and news space. I think, you know, that's where you get the accusations that jokes are misinformation, jokes are disinformation. These sorts of things get, you know, when it comes to an issue like COVID, people get really nervous about it. It is hard to negotiate. It's not something we had to deal with so much, right? Nobody used to take Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live and think it was real news.
Right.
And so there's a squeamishness there. And I think part of it's figuring out how to deal with the world of social media, new media, how we kind of mixed everything up in the way we talk about stuff, whether it's comedy, news, whatever.
I wonder if future generations, because we always do this thing where it's like, oh, these kids, they're so sensitive about what is being said about them and social media. But Dr. Drew is no kid, and it affects him greatly. And there's many other adults who are greatly affected because it's so new.
Yeah.
And I would kind of make the counter argument, maybe kids are going to grow up with a
thicker skin.
Outer skin, a thicker shell, skin. Because they have been hearing it since they were nine.
Right. Yeah.
Now, by the time they're 39, this is just going to be called a Tuesday, them getting shit online.
I mean, I feel like, and you probably noticed this too, because I get up still, you know, several times a week performing, and the landscape of just your average audience in a comedy club has completely changed. What people used to be able to talk about and what people are scared. I hear a lot of comics just like, can I say this on stage? Yeah. And no one ever said that before 10 years, 15 years ago. You just say it. You know what I mean? The audience tends to be oversensitive in certain subjects. You're just talking about COVID. But there's a lot of things that – think about some of your old jokes.
Never wondered that.
I notice it regionally.
Yes.
Like you go down to the Comedy Store. Yeah. I was at the Laugh Factory last week, and I said this joke where I said, look, I tell my son, never, ever follow an Indian kid during a spelling bee. Never.
Right.
Unless that kid is American Indian. And the first off, the audience is uncomfortable. And then secondly, I swear to God, a chick right up front, 27 years old, she just goes, I'm American Indian.
Nice.
And I don't appreciate it.
Nice.
I was like, well, I had to have a dialogue. That's the new world order.
And your comeback should have been spell American Indian.
That's right. And all sorts of jokes that are, you know, of that nature.
Yes.
You can hear they are uncomfortable.
They're uncomfortable. I talk about my daughter's birth mother being a meth addict, and 9 times out of 10, the audience has such a reaction to the joke that I say, my daughter has 4 teeth, so she officially has more teeth than her birth mother.
Right.
I hear the people, half of the time, they're so horrified and have to be like, she's not here, and that's her favorite joke.
That's a good joke.
Right.
Thank you. I mean, everybody's so sensitive with certain stuff, and comics used to not have to worry about that. And I agree that comedy should be – it's not even about sides. Funny is funny. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It's like it just is.
Well, also, we slid into some realm of, you know, words hurt.
Yeah.
Or words can be dangerous, or words can injure people, or, you know, they felt threatened by words. All right. So all jokes are is words put in a certain order to elicit a reaction. So by nature, all jokes are words, unless you're Gallagher or Carrot Top or other claimed artists. But they're all words. So if words hurt, mm-hmm. then jokes are words. Even if they're jokes, it's just more words. And that was kind of... Oh, silence is violence. I forgot about that, Chris put on the screen. So now we're screwed because words hurt and silence is violence. I think we're down to mumbling.
Just mumble.
Yeah, mumbling is troubling. Yeah, so I never signed off on this. It's insane to me. I have no idea why we wanted to go down this road, but we went down it. And yes, when you're up on stage, you can feel mm-hmm. the reaction to much of the same stuff that you never felt that reaction to.
Yep.
Yeah, you wrote a book on SNL, right?
Yeah, I edited a book and I wrote part of it. Yeah, that's right.
SNL is, you know, getting, I mean, they've always been kind of political, but they really got political recently. I mean, the last several years, mm-hmm. but they've been, I don't know, I feel like they're now taking digs at Biden, which is interesting.
Yeah, I think inevitable. I mean, you know, I think that SNL's relationship with Trump was very complicated, we'll put it that way, right? Mm-hmm. A core part of their audience was very unpleased with the treatment of Trump, having him host as he was a candidate. And they spent a lot of time, I think, saying sorry for that and being very careful to make their general political position clear in the wake of that and sort of the general just kind of attitude. But of course, the jokes have to be at the people in power, right? I mean, that's ultimately the only way to make that show work. So, I mean, Joe Biden has to be in bounds or that show's not going to fly. And I think they've embraced that. And, you know, we'll see what happens moving forward. Trump comes back. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I'll bet a lot of CNN folks and SNL folks might quietly go vote for Trump just to see if we can have this guy brought.
For their livelihood.
CNN's ratings since he left. And then also there's a kind of a thing with Biden, which is he's clearly kind of diminished now. And now if you make a joke about Biden, you're kind of making a joke about a diminished person. Yeah. I mean, you can make jokes about policy, but that's not going to be the bulk of the jokes. The bulk of the jokes is him introducing himself to the hat rack.
He's confused
when he enters the party. And now we are kind of bumping up against, you know, a possible legitimate disability.
Oh, like the Razzies and Bruce Willis.
Yes, Razzies and Bruce Willis and us making fun of it. We're not quite there yet. We're at the part, like, when I used to play football, if a guy got concussed, he'd get up and walk to the wrong huddle, and we'd all have a laugh about it.
Yeah.
But we're getting to the point where he's having a little disorder later on in life, and I don't know how they handle that.
I mean, there's some precedent. I mean, I don't want to say what's going on with him. To be clear, I don't know what the mental state of anybody is. But with Reagan, there was some precedent there. You know, one of my favorite SNL sketches is the Phil Hartman Reagan mastermind.
Yes,
right?
That's a great sketch.
Where where Reagan, you know, is clearly a bit doddering and sort of a fool. And the joke becomes that everybody leaves the room. He's this like super strategic person. They're playing with an idea there of a diminished in some way person. There are ways in which this has been negotiated in the past. I don't know if we're too sensitive or I'm not sure, but it's a good question. There has been things along these lines, though.
You ever seen that sketch?
No, I don't think I have.
Little
maybe
girl
Chris
comes
can
in
find
for a photo so op, funny. And he's like, little girl, yeah, the Ronald Reagan thing, right. You know, oh, well, take a picture, okay, nice to meet you. She leaves the room, everyone leaves. All right, back to work. He's all like right. A taskmaster, you know, telling everyone what to do. Sir, I'm not following you. You don't need to know.
Right, that is 36 years ago now, though. That's back when you, a comedian, could say retard and be celebrated.
Oh, God, I miss
you know,
those
so
days.
It was a little different, a little different time. Well, we'll see if we can find the, I don't know, Chris is, doesn't seem
someone's
like he's
on,
looking for, somebody's on it. Yeah. Because I want to see it. So where do you think this is heading? Do you think it's going to be more of the kind of right-leaning comedy? I mean, obviously somebody's looking at whatever, you know, okay, I'm a Tool guy, like Tim Allen, except for he's not really a Tool guy, but I am. And Makita, they were the only people that ever made a cordless drill for a decade. But at some point, DeWalt and Porter Cable and Stanley and whoever, Black and Decker, they went, what the fuck are they the only ones doing this? They have 100% of the market share. Right. Why don't we start making our own cordless drills? And the next thing you know, Makita's market share is down to 13% versus 97%. You know, how long are people going to watch Gutfeld before somebody goes, hey, we're going to do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to breed, absolutely, it'll breed imitation. I mean, we do see a whole world in there in sort of the smaller media world, right? The podcast world, the YouTube world. There are a bunch of people, and then we write about this in the book, or working in all sorts of different parts of kind of conservatism or right-wing worlds. There's a bench that is growing there, especially in sort of inexpensive media. I would suspect that you'll find eventually people in the real big league, so night shows, not wanting to give up on 40% of the American public and wanting to try to find maybe that Jay Leno kind of character who can straddle again. Maybe that's impossible these days, but there's got to be some instinct to try to, you know, reach into that space that Gutfeld has proven is there. I think we'll see changes. And I think that, you know, the idea of the bigger outlets ignoring that whole spectrum, part of the spectrum, is probably not going to last.
Yeah, I mean, presumably one day, maybe HBO or Netflix or some one of those, but it's not going to be official until they get into that game. We have the Reagan's SNL sketch clip to play for us guys and you guys. Oh, what year is this?
87, 88, towards the end of his run.
87. Oh, Phil. Love him so much.
Mm. I'm seeing 1990.
Oh, girl, what's your name?
Lisa Myers.
Well, Lisa, if you're that good a sales lady, maybe I could use you up on Capitol Hill. Well, it was nice meeting you.
Come on, Lisa. Come on.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Come on. Back to work!
And he calls it the cabinet.
Come on! Right. Afghanistan needs more money. We've got $65.2 million tucked away in Zurich. Now, if we hold it there for another 30 days at 7.28% interest, that's roughly $400,000.
$397,285.
I know. Don't waste my time. But if we take out only $20 million, we'll lose roughly, let's see, that's...
$121,860.
Thank you so much. Yes?
Mr. President, it's Mr. Karan Hassan Fasan.
Put him on the speaker. Well, gentlemen, I just concluded a very lucrative deal with the Iraqis.
Mr. President, it just occurred to me. What if something should happen to you? You're the only one who knows what's going on.
And that's the way it's going to stay. To quote Montesquieu, power without knowledge is power lost.
Mr. President.
Yes.
It's Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, damn, now.
He says he's had an appointment with you for 2 months now.
All right, all right. Let's get on with it. Everybody out.
Jimmy Stewart?
Jimmy Stewart.
Any chance to get...
Hello, Jimmy.
Yeah, well, hi, Dutch. How are you? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. President. You know, I have the hardest time getting used to that.
Well, we sure had great times back in Hollywood.
Say that again, Dutch. We certainly did, yeah.
Well, it was good seeing you, Jimmy.
Well, what are you talking about? I just got here, for crying out loud.
Well, I know, but I have, a meeting.
Well, that's just great. That's just great. I'll just stick around. That's it. I'll just stick around.
We get it. It's funny. Yeah. I'm sure it keeps being funny, but I didn't want to have Matt on hold the entire time.
Long sketches.
I know.
Yeah.
That was night, and Brian's got to look up. It's 1990.
It'd be weird if they aired it 2 years after he was out of office.
It's 86. It's 86. They think they aired it.
The problem with the goddamn internet, it happens to me every fucking time, is they put the wrong date, and then it was the date they put it up on the internet, but it's not the right date or whatever.
I don't know. There was an excerpt that said 1990, but then there's another part that says 86. So it said both on Google.
He wasn't the president in 1990.
Not 1990.
That was the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
All right, Matt, let me give a plug to the book. That's Not Funny, How the Right Makes Comedy Work for Them. It's available on Amazon as we speak. Matt Singlewitz, thank you very much for joining us. Hope you come back.
Ooh. He's frozen. He said sure.
He said sure. Perfect timing. All right, FitzDog is out there. Let me just tell you about Cuts, a premium T-shirt alternative, perfect for any occasion. They look good, they feel good, and it takes that to a whole new level. These things are great. It's not the stuff you grew up with. It's top shelf, premium quality. Again, it's a T-shirt alternative, and it's good for any occasion. The shirts fit well. The quality is great. The fabric is comfortable. Tons of great colors and styles. Crew necks, Henleys, long sleeves, something for everyone. GQ called them the only shirt worth wearing. So I don't know if you're going to get better than that. Refresh your wardrobe in time for summer with Cuts. Right, Dawson?
See for yourself why Cuts is one of the fastest growing men's brands with over 1 million shirts sold. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Corolla. That's CUTS clothing.com/Corolla.
All right. Greg Fitzsimmons, FitzDog, is coming in studio right after this.
Stream the biggest movies and TV shows for free on Pluto TV. Watch movies like Titanic and G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra, plus TV shows like CSI and Star Trek The Next Generation. Starting this month, check out the 24/7 Stargate channel exclusively on Pluto TV, plus hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows absolutely free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start watching today.